You know, this has been a fascinating week on Wall Street. On the one hand, we've seen these enormous gains in the equities market. We've seen interest rates plunge. We've seen economic news, at least in employment, that was concerning. First of the ADP jobs report for the private sector, then Friday's numbers from the Labor Department showed job gains a lot lower than expected. But also, it looks like another rate cut may be coming from the Fed. We'll see. Richard Fisher has kept up with these things forever. For a decade, he was president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. He's now senior advisor to Barclays and a director of PepsiCo. And you see him as a senior contributing editor for CNBC. And he joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you, David. It's always good to hear your voice.
Thank you. So is this Goldilocks? I mean, it kind of feels like, you know, the economy's not too hot, not too cold.
The economy is actually doing very well. When you think of how low the unemployment rate is, we're late in an economic expansion. It's the longest economic expansion in post-World War II history, so our volatile president will be able to brag about that. It's the last long one was exactly 120 months, and that was from March of 91 to March of 2001. We're going to surpass that. So things are actually pretty good. As long as employment, David, is strong, as long as unemployment claims are low, which they are the lowest in 60 years, and as long as people have the wherewithal, freedom to change from one job to another, what we call the quits data, you're going to have strong consumption. And consumption is 70% of the U.S. economy.
Yeah.
So you have consumption. The old formula, one thing I learned at the Fed, you had all these great sophisticated economic models, the biggest in the world, certainly the largest here in the United States. We weren't very good at predicting the future. And the only way to really think about things was a simple formula, C, consumption, plus I, investment, plus G, government spending, and then net exports. So C plus I plus G, plus or minus X, as we used to say. And C is about 70% of the equation. So if you have good employment, even if it's tailing off, which you wouldn't expect this late in a cycle, so these numbers are not surprising that just came out,
yeah,
you're going to have a pretty good economy, and you'll continue to have economic growth, and you're trying to detect weaknesses for the future. But right now, it looks pretty good, and a recession doesn't seem to be immediately in sight.
You know, the wild card, though, and you mentioned the element in there, is exports, and that's the tariff and trade, and fighting with China, now fighting with Mexico, maybe the EU is next. I mean, you were the deputy U.S. trade rep for a long time, so you have a...
For 4 years.
Yeah, and you have a unique perspective on this. What damage could be done to us from that?
Well, first, keep things in perspective. Net exports is the smallest number. We're very lucky in this country of that equation I just gave you. So it has the least weight. It's tiny relative to a $22 to $23 trillion economy, which is our U.S. economy. Having said that, we still are living in a globalized world. We had two great presidents that worked towards opening that world, and that was George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton. You have to give them both credit. They were very good free traders. They brought all these agreements into being, finalized them, including the World Trade Organization, which needs repair. There's no question about that. But we had this great global expansion, and that helped us an enormous amount. With regard to China, I negotiated the protocols for their accession to the World Trade Organization. I did them in Taiwan simultaneously for the Clinton administration, really following on the George H.W. Bush administration's initiatives. And, they said all the right things, and they've cheated on every one of them. So I think President Trump is correct on China. It's time someone called their bluff. And this is going to be an ongoing struggle. It's not going to end. If we get a deal, it'll go on for a very long time. With regard to Mexico, I totally disagree with the president's approach. This is our biggest trading partner, and especially for Texas, it's dramatically important. This isn't a way to really deal with the problems of the border, which are severe. And I really worry about the damage down there, not just the auto industry. We import and deal with them everything from tomatoes and avocados to medical equipment, computer parts. People have moved their production from China, where they're having increasing problems, to Mexico, in addition to Vietnam and some other countries. And I really hope that this thing will be resolved, because I think it does enormous damage to us as a state. and really will wreak havoc in the auto industry and other key industries, medical equipment and so on here in the United States. And then Europe, I think, David, they're going to train their guns on Europe next. And that's going to create some turbulence, but a lot of our relationships there and the institutions we created to reconstruct Europe are kind of long in the tooth, so I hope they do the right thing, but they also do it a little more gently.
Yeah, but when you've got them falling one by one, you know, China and Mexico, and then maybe it's Europe next, who knows, maybe Canada comes. What if you're in corporate America? How do you decide whether to expand or acquire when you don't exactly know what's coming up next?
It depends on which corporate America you're talking about. So you and I trade in markets, and markets, if you look at the S&P 500, 40% of the revenue of those companies are international. So that is impacted by this, and it's impacted by an increasingly strong U.S. dollar because people want to invest in this country because we're less exposed to the world than the rest. So they are piling into U.S. treasuries, which has driven yields down and driven all interest rates down across the yield curve. If you're a small or medium-sized company run by the men and women that employ and create jobs in this country, covered by the survey called the National Federation of Independent Business, you're less dependent on all this. And in fact, I'm willing to bet when they release their survey on the 11th, you will see that they're still robust, they're still hiring, they're not worried about the cost of capital right now, they're not the least bit supportive of the Fed cutting interest rates. They're happy campers, and that, David, is where over half of the American workforce, half American workers, are employed. The big companies are in the process, all of them, of reducing headcount. The little companies that are the backbone of America are in the process of trying to find workers to increase headcount, and they have trouble finding them because everybody's employed, and the skill sets are not that good in this country for the remaining people. So you have a bifurcated economy, David, and that's what the Fed, I think, will respond to, not the market's needs.
Okay, so one last thing. If you were sitting back down at that big table at the next Fed meeting, FOMC meeting.
Having a nervous breakdown? Yeah, go ahead.
Would you set things in motion for a rate cut maybe as soon as September because you think it's necessary or because you think it's expected or both?
I would never do things that are expected. The market expresses itself through what are called Fed funds futures, and those odds right now are very, very high for a couple of moves before the year end. It's never been a correct predictor, never, ever, on either the upside or the downside. There's no. So I wouldn't pay attention to that. We fed the market cheap money for 10 years. It's like putting a child on Ritalin for 10 years. Removing that dosage is painful and leads to volatility and bad behavioral responses. The Fed's just going to have to suck that up. And I would be saying, unless there is evidence that the real economy, not the markets, are stressed and you feel there's going to be a downturn, then I would be in favor of cutting rates. But if it's just to sustain the market, I would not. You've only had 9 quarter point increases, David, and the Fed funds rate's at 2.4%. That's not a whole lot for when the winter comes, when the economy finally turns, and you want to save those nuts in the tree for when the winter comes. So I'd be very, very, very stingy in giving those things back right now.
And a better analogy than putting bullets back in the gun. Richard Fisher.
Last thing, David,
yes,
real
sir.
Quick. There's another kind of squirrel, the kind we see that goes back and forth across the road and then gets squished.
Yes.
We don't want to see a Federal Reserve like that, and that would be what they were doing if they were just responding to market desires.
Good point, well taken. Senior advisor to Barclays is Richard W. Fisher. It's always good to have you with us, sir.
Thank you, David.
Thanks. I'm David Johnson. News Radio 1080 KRLD.